Every time there's a war, there's always the fear that comes with bad news. Death is on the mind that young men, women, people of all ages dying because of the war. In the Civil War, you would have people awaiting, maybe receiving a letter that their child, their husband has died, and wondering, is this going to be the day that the post comes and I receive a letter? Or you have the men waking up, seeing that a battle is going to commence today. What am I to do? Am I ready? Am I ready to die? There's one, a story of a diary of a man who wrote every day in a journal, and he got shot in the battle, and he wrote the day, the place, and that he was going to die, and there's blood all over it. Well, it turned out he didn't die. And he was able to recover, and he continued to write in the journal. But death, the fear of death, and especially with war, we see that more and more. Having Memorial Day, people during World War I, World War II, receiving correspondence, the telegraph, and having someone come and knock on your door, your loved one has died. 600,000 Americans died in World War II. Of course, many died, not that many, but many died in the Korean War and in the Vietnam War. And there's always the possibility of bad news around the corner. Well, today we're going to talk about the one person who has never, ever been sinfully anxious or worried, who never feared bad news, but whose heart has always stood firm, and that is Jesus Christ, the blessed man. And so we're going to continue looking at Psalm 112. And as we have looked at this psalm, we've asked, what are the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the blessed man? What are the qualities of Jesus Christ, the righteous man? In verse 1, we learn that he is the one who fears the Lord. In verses 2 through 5, that he is the one who is generous to his children. And we'll continue in verses 6 and 8, that he is the one who has a steadfast heart. That he is the righteous man who has a firm heart. Well, let's read Psalm 112 again. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So tonight we'll look at verses 6 through 8. Jesus Christ, who has a steadfast heart. Remember, this psalm is an acrostic psalm, so the first lines, each line begins with a new letter of the alphabet going A through Z, but the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, showing in that pattern of completion. It's the same type of pattern in the previous Psalm 111, so we have these as companion psalms, talking about the great works of the Lord, and then talking about Jesus Christ, the blessed man. This psalm focuses on the godly man, the perfect man. And we see in verse 6 the promise that the righteous will never be moved. And that's why this is about Jesus, because no one else is righteous. No one else has never sinned. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, to be righteous in reality means that you have to keep God's law. You can never break God's law. None of the commandments, never lie, steal, never covet, never worship false gods, and externally or internally, in thought, word, and deed. You have to be perfect all the time, and as we talked about last week, even when you're 2 years old. Perfection. And if you sin once, you have broken the commandments. You cannot be righteous, because to be righteous is to be perfect and pure, and no one else is. What is the promise of Jesus Christ who is righteous? He will never be moved. He will never be forgotten. He will be remembered forever and ever. And isn't it amazing how that ties in with the Lord's Supper? Do this in remembrance of me. That every week around the world in hundreds, if not thousands, of languages, we have people who are Christians gathering in the name of Jesus Christ. That He is remembered. He is proclaimed. And we had a wonderful encouragement on Sunday having Pastor Wim from Belgium here. And he was just once again marveling that the gospel and God's people is throughout the whole world, and it really encourages his heart to see other believers worshiping God. His name will never be forgotten. We go to these plaques and monuments, and there are names engraven. One of the most famous is the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C., and people go there with a piece of paper and they scribble the name on a piece of paper so they can have it because it's been put into that stone to remember forever. Now those names are going to stay there, but the memories of those people will be lost. The family members, the spouses, the children, the great-grandchildren, they're going to die and will not remember. And their names, while written down on a piece of stone, people will not remember what they did, how they did it. They will be lost. Only God will know, and an archive somewhere might be able to find something, but people won't be digging trying to find that. That is not the way of Christ. It's not that His name is just written in the Bible, but people are proclaiming the glorious deeds that He has done of His death, burial, and resurrection. They're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the only way. Revelation 5:13 says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying." So, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, all that is in them, all of creation. And what is all of creation saying? "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." That God, He is exalted and He's going to have everyone praise Him, praise His name forever and ever. It will never stop. He will never be forgotten. What makes Jesus so righteous? Verses 7 and 8 shows us, He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid. Throughout His incarnation, when Christ came, He was tempted on so many occasions to be afraid of bad news, to be sinfully anxious, to not trust God the Father. Let's just think about some of these scenarios. First, he was tempted to anxiety at Gethsemane. Remember when he was praying in the garden and he asked twice to have that cup be removed? In Matthew 26:42, it says, "Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.'" And what was he to drink? The wrath of God on the cross through his crucifixion as a substitute to die in the place of his people, to save them from their sins. He knew the pain. He knew the agony. But staring death and the curse of the law in its face, he did not become sinfully anxious. He trusted God and submitted to the divine plan. And then what happens? Now Judas comes with the soldiers. And he could have stopped the soldiers with the word from his mouth. And he would have avoided the cross. Listen to this in John 18. "So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him," so he wasn't surprised, "came forward and said to them, 'Whom do you seek?' They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to them, 'I am he.' Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground." Isn't that amazing? Of course, the Gospel of John has the seven I am statements, and that goes and pulls onto Exodus, where God says in Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am, who I say I am." That, and Jesus is saying, "I am the I am." And then when they ask, "Whom do you seek?" and he says, "I am," and by saying, "I am he," the power of the words, "I am he," the soldiers fall down on the ground. The power of those words. Jesus could have had them killed with his word right then and there. But he didn't. Why? Because then we couldn't be saved from our sins. Where else could he have not trusted God? Well, then Peter steps in, doesn't he? They get up off the ground and they come. And what does Peter do? He draws the sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. And Jesus rebukes him and says in Matthew 26, verses 53 and 54, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But then how should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" So he could have bailed himself out, not just by speaking the word, but now he could bail himself out by having all these angels come and blast them. It took one angel to kill, what was it, 180,000 of the Assyrians? In Isaiah, was it 38, 39? It took one angel to do that. Think of how many, if you have 12 legions of angels, it'd be nothing to wipe out these Roman soldiers. Yet Jesus, who had the power to call them, did not. Why? Because the scriptures could not be fulfilled if he did. He trusted God. What about when he was on the cross? And he was hanging there and being mocked and scoffed. He could have come down from the cross. He had the power. He could have still avoided death by asphyxiation. In Matthew 27, 41 from 43, this is what the people were calling him to do. It says, "So also the chief priests with scribes and elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God.'" So notice they're daring Jesus. "Oh, Jesus, if you come down from the cross and save yourself, we'll now believe you. We'll trust you. We'll follow you. We'll worship you. Would they have? Would they really have done that? No. It's like the guy, he said, God, if you really exist, strike me with lightning. Then I'll really believe you. No, you won't. Unless you are born again. Unless God does a miracle, you will not believe. So Jesus could have listened to them instead of submitting to God. Instead of entrusting himself to God. Here's a way I can get out of this. If I just come down, now they'll believe. Isn't that the whole point? We want them to believe. No, the whole point is that he had to die on the cross as a lamb slain. His blood had to be spilled. His death had to take place. He was not afraid. His heart was steady. He was secure. He trusted in God. And so at the end of verse 8 it says, until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Christ now, after the resurrection, looks in triumph over his adversaries. And when he returns, he will have the final consummation of his triumph. And that's why, when you look at Philippians 2, 5 through 11, it starts with the incarnation, the cross, and then the triumph over his adversaries. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So God became man. He became a servant, even though he's God. He became a man with a soul and a body to serve his people, to save them from their sins. Now verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So see, we've already gone that far, haven't we? We've covered all that. Now, because he's the God-man who has done this, what is the result? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that amazing? The blessed man is the man who has a steadfast heart, who looks in triumph over his adversaries, and the pathway of triumph was through the humiliation of the cross. The humiliation of the cross was the key to triumphing over his enemies. And he was steadfast all the way through it, trusting in the plan of God. In contrast, isn't it great that Peter wasn't our Savior? John MacArthur said that Peter was, he called him the worrier. Some examples of him worrying. Remember in Matthew 14 where Jesus is on water and Peter's like, I want to go on water too. So he starts walking on the water and then he takes his sights off Jesus and then he starts to get anxious, he's sinking, he's worrying, and he calls out to Christ. Or in Matthew 16, after he confesses, Jesus said, who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Jesus says, you are the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And then after that, Jesus says, well, I must go to the cross and die, and 3 days later I will raise. Jesus said, no, you cannot go to the cross. He was worrying. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And of course, in John 18, where we've already talked about him unsheathing his sword and cutting off Malchus's ear. Why? Because he's worried. Jesus is getting arrested. They're going to do harm to him. I need to stop it. I'm going to take control with the arm of the flesh. In all three of these instances, he was not trusting God. He sinned. praise be to God, He is not our Savior. But that Jesus is His Savior, and if we have faith and repentance in Christ, He is our Savior too. And if Jesus is your Savior, then you too can be the blessed man, can be the blessed woman, not because you have lived a perfect life, but because Christ has lived a perfect life for you. How can you be the blessed man? Just as Jesus Christ was righteous, is righteous, you by faith in Christ will be made righteous and are righteous. Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed, meaning in the gospel, from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. How do sinners become righteous? Well, God doesn't zap us and make us perfect. Instead, we need an alien righteousness. We need a righteousness for someone else. We need a perfect track record of law keeping to be transferred to our account because we are spiritually bankrupt. To whom do we go for such a transfer? Jesus Christ. That's why He had to become a man, because He had to live the life as the second Adam. The first Adam sinned in the garden, and we as his descendants sin like him. We need a second Adam who doesn't sin, who is holy, and we can trust in him. You can also be the blessed man because if you are righteous, then you also have eternity, and that eternity is secure. Remember, the righteous man shall not be moved. If you have faith in Christ, you will be not be moved, but you have eternal life. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The blessed man is the one who has faith in Christ and can be secure because he is secured by God. Third, you are righteous, you are secure. Third, Jesus is the source of our peace. He did not fear bad news. We are tempted day after day to fear bad news. What we're going to hear about on the TV, what we're going to hear about from our children or grandchildren, what could possibly go wrong today? Or you think about all the possible complications that could take place, and you're afraid of that. Or you fear things like, I don't want to get cancer, I don't want to have this, I don't want to be in a nursing home. All these fears, there are so many things we can be preoccupied with and be anxious about. How do we have peace? Besides trying to substitute peace in a pill. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything. Not some things, but anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. So when I'm tempted to be anxious, anxiety is a sin. When I'm tempted to be anxious, that is showing a lack of trust in God. I'm not remembering He's sovereign, that He's good, that He's wise, that He's loving, that every good thing that happens, everything that happens in my life as a believer is for my good. It's to conformity of Jesus Christ. When I am anxious, when I am tempted to be anxious, what do? Pray. Pray. And when we pray, how do we pray? We make supplications. What am I anxious about? I'm going to pray that to God. And while as I'm making these supplications, let me do so in thanksgiving. I praise you, God, that you are sovereign. I praise you, God, for all the times you've answered my prayers. I praise you for the supplications that you are giving me today. You've given me my daily bread. You make these requests be known to God. And what does God promise? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you want to have a steadfast heart, if you want to have a heart that will not be moved, pray. When you're anxious, pray. Jesus is the source of peace. He, as the blessed man, is the one through prayer who gives us peace that surpasses all understanding so that we can have steadfast hearts, so that we can not be anxious. And finally, our final application, as Jesus being the blessed man who is righteous, who keeps us secure, who is our source of peace. Finally, by faith in Jesus Christ, we reign with Christ. He looks triumphantly over His enemies, over His adversaries. We, as His people, look triumphantly over our adversaries, over Christ's adversaries. Revelation 22, 4 and 5, the last chapter of the Bible. It says, in the new heavens and new earth, that they, being Christians, will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. So no sun, no light. Why? Because we have God. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So how are we to be the blessed man? How are we to reign? How are we to look triumphantly? As we see evil out in the world, as we see so much wickedness, how are we to have steadfast hearts in the midst of all this evil? Ah, by looking to the end, knowing that God has promised and that it is true. And that by faith in Christ, we reign with Christ. By faith in Christ, we are righteous to be able to dwell with Him. By faith in Christ, we are secure because He will not let us go. By faith in Christ, we can have peace now, because He is the Prince of Peace, the source of peace. But to have that peace, we must go to prayer to our God. Well, let's learn from our passage and put it into practice. Let us go and pray.